It might, you know, you might say it's like the Dublin Pleasanton area compared to the
city.
Okay,
that makes sense.
Yeah, kind of there. Yeah. And kind of a decent, little bit more affluent suburbs is where it is.
Right.
Well, now they're asking all those fans who they had accumulated over, and remember, before that, they played at the Pontiac Silverdome. They want all those fans to start going into the city where it's 40 to 45 minutes commute. Well, now they want to go to the Little Caesars Arena, and I will be intrigued to see if they come out to see the best show in the game, which is the Golden State Warriors.
Will. What do you think we get from Curry tonight?
I think from Curry, you get the wow factor. I do think he doesn't ease himself into it. I do think you might even get a road shimmy. That's how big I think he comes back with. You've turned me from 9 o'clock this morning until just past noon into, I might even go put on a number 30 jersey and shoot some Nerf hoops. When he put, like, I wonder if, you know, there are probably some kids listening right now. Do you ever go home and you're watching the game and put your Nerf hoop up and put your Curry jersey on? And as he shoots and scores, like, you try to take a shot from that same spot.
I used to do that all the time.
I used to do that all the time.
All the time.
Oh, my God. That was the greatest thing ever when you were growing up.
All the time. In fact, you know what? We had a pool set up, like a real nice pool basketball hoop.
Oh, I know what you're talking
about.
Like
on a little stand and whatever. And what would we do in the wintertime? I'd bring it in the house.
Nice. Nice move.
I'd bring it in the house, dust it off, and it was like having a legit
Nerf hoop. Like a real hoop
in
there.
Like a legit hoop.
Yeah.
That, you know, in the summertime, it'd be by the pool, but in the wintertime, it'd be like in the game room.
Yep. I would have the Nerf hoop up. I'd stack up a bunch of shoe boxes and I'd bend the thing and I'd tape it up in there. And then, like, when my favorite guy took a shot, I would imitate the shot with the Nerfs. So I know the kids are going to do that today when they're watching the game against the Pistons.
Stephen Curry just makes everything more fun, I think, as far as this Warriors team goes.
And as everyone points out, a lot of it has to do with his everyman demeanor. If you stand next to him, he's not a small guy.
No.
But by NBA standards, he's like a little kid. And that's just because NBA players are superhuman beings. So his inhuman capacity on the floor is only made better by his human quality. So I think that's what I think. It's not that I'm heaping too much on him today, but I do think he's going to end up, you know, the equivalent of curing cancer.
Right.
That's what he'll do when he gets on the floor.
888-957-9570 if you want to weigh in on what you think Stephen Curry's line will be tonight. And how does his return impact Kevin Durant?
That's the bigger one.
Having the four best games consecutively of his career.
He has led the team in scoring all 11 games Steph Curry has been on the sideline. Who leads the team in scoring today?
Klay Thompson.
Yeah, I know. That would be funny if he did, actually. If they kind of teed him up so that he would do that. But I will be interested in what Warrior fans think. Is this Durant's role right now? You don't slow a guy's roll? He's on a roll. You got to keep riding that hot hand.
I think it's more apt to play out that way.
So he's going to come
Curry
out.
Curry comes out and just kind of eases his way back into it. He's not going to be playing the entire third quarter like he normally does when he's fully healthy. He'll be a little bit winded. So I think he'll take initially a little bit of a backseat.
It will be interesting to see if they try to get Steph going early. You know, when a guy comes back, you kind of defer sometimes. You want him. It's funny. Coaches probably want them to organically find their role in this, and they know Steph's role is a big one. And sometimes players, it was like when the Hamptons Five first got together, everyone was just passing the ball to one another.
Yeah.
It was just no one wanted to shoot the ball.
You shoot it. No, you shoot it.
Yeah, go ahead. We're gonna work so hard at making sure that everyone's passing the ball that no one's eventually gonna shoot it. So I wonder if that happens today early, you know, halfway through the first quarter, and they finally start to get more of a feel together. 11 games is a significant amount of time. That's half the season up until now. Virtually half the season up until now.
No, that's absolutely true.
Yeah. So you look at what they're going to do and how I'm going to see if Durant defers more often than not early in the game. And I'm going to watch late if it's a close game. And by close, I mean inside of 10 points. I'm going to look to see if Durant is as hungry as he was the last three games. Right? Because when it was Toronto, you basically knew 35 was walking it up and something was going to happen.
Right.
So if it's a close game and it's the fourth quarter, is number 35 going to walk it up and stay hungry? Or is it going to be back to, let's work the ball around?
I think he's going to stay hungry.
I want to see if they want him to stay hungry or if they want it to be, hey, Steph is back, everybody.
the other factor in play with the Warriors, too, though, is when they have Curry back and Curry's rolling, a lot of these games wind up, you don't need anybody to hit a big shot for you late in the game because it's blowout city.
Yeah.
Or at least you're in control, let's say, in the final 3-4 minutes, up by 10 to 12 points.
Am I wrong for rooting every night that the Warriors are not blowing a team out? Is it wrong for me to be that way?
No.
Because I don't like watching that. I do not have fun. I have fun when it's a close game and I got to see them execute.
Close game against a good team, because a lot of times if it's a close game against a bad team, it's because they aren't really playing all that well.
Yeah.
So it's a game where you just, yeah, you kind of throw that game out too.
Jagbagging,
you
say.
Can be entertaining.
Yep.
But no, I'm with you.
Yeah,
I want to see the Toronto game at Oracle in a couple of weeks be 115-115 with 2 minutes to go and Kawhi's guarding Kevin Durant and let's see who can get what.
Yeah, I agree with you.
That's what I'd like to see. That's a takeaway. That's something that you can glean something from.
I agree.
Now, what I think we'll end up seeing is the Warriors win 128 to 109.
You are NBA snob, man.
And Stephen Curry's going to be shimmying, and Kevin Durant's going to have 20.
I'll turn it off.
On 7 shots.
I will turn it off. If that happens, I'll turn the game off.
I think that's where we're headed.
I disagree. I will turn off a game where that stuff is going on because I want them executing in important situations. I just want it interesting.
I don't disagree. I just don't think you're going to get it all that often.
And when you get it, it's a bimis. It's a fluke. Like Toronto was a fluke. At Toronto was a fluke. You needed two Warriors out.
Yeah.
And you needed
You could even make a case that the Milwaukee game, as well as Milwaukee played that night, without Draymond Green, the Warriors defensively just aren't the same.
That's a big miss. I will tell you the one thing I was disappointed about in the Toronto game, and this was more of the reaction afterwards. I heard way too much, gosh, they played so hard. Boy, did you see what KD did.
Well,
it was a moral victory. And if you win 3 or 4 championships and you're about to win 4 or 5, there is no such thing as a moral victory. Don't give me moral victories if you're a Warrior fan. They talked about that game like, oh, look at our boys trying so darn hard. And I was watching the Warrior. I was out. I happened to be out at a function, so I'm an idiot. I used my phone and watched the pre and the post game show, and they're fawning over the 51 points from Kevin Durant.
Well, it was a terrific individual performance.
It was, but if I'd have been watching the game or listening, I'd have thought they'd have won. You can't fawn over a loss. You can fawn over a loss if you're the Chicago Bulls and you stink.
Well,
and you play hard against the Warriors.
But I think that's what has changed the game is the Warriors playing without Curry and without Draymond Green. You start to see that this team that they currently have is closer to a lot of those middling teams in the Western Conference. I mean, how many, I'll just ask you, I mean, we've thrown this around a lot in the last few weeks where Curry and Draymond Green have been out. This team right now that the Warriors have, before Curry comes back, before Draymond Green comes back, the team they've had to play the last 10 of 11 games with.
Right.
How good is that team over 82?
The team without those two stars.
With just if it's Durant and Clay and everybody else.
Well, we saw how good they are. We saw how good they are.
5-6?
Yeah, they're right around 500.
Yeah.
That's what they are with those super duper stars.
And I think you could make a case that they're not 500.
Let me ask you this. Is that crew better or worse, the one that they've been playing with for 11 games? Remember, Andre Iguodala is part of that. Is that team as good or worse than the Oklahoma City team Durant left to come to the Golden State Warriors?
No.
It's nowhere near that
team? This team?
Yeah.
No.
It's nowhere near it?
That Oklahoma City team's better.
Okay.
Because they had an Ibaka.
Okay.
And they had a Robertson. And
boy, poor Robertson. What's up with him?
They have Steven Adams.
You see, Robertson's going to be out another 5 or 6 weeks.
That stinks.
It does.
That absolutely stinks.
I feel bad for him as a human being.
I like him as a player.
Exactly. And you know what? I want more good teams. And I want good guys and good players to be out there.
Yeah, because they're one of those teams that's holding on to the fact, hey, you know, we're doing whatever. When Robertson comes back, we go from a good defensive team to a great defensive team, whatever.
Yeah.
The numbers backed that up last year. But it doesn't look like he's going to be able to be any kind of a factor.
So then if they're about a 500 team with this current crew, without those two.
I think they might be slightly under, but yeah.
Okay, let's say they're slightly under. Add one of the ingredients back, and you get to do that now.
Yeah.
Now what are they?
Well, if it's Curry, I think you go from, let's say, a 39-win team.
Okay.
I think you go to a 50-win team.
It's that much.
Yeah.
It's that big of a difference.
Yeah.
This same crew this same setup goes to a 50-win
team. Because offensively, you're elite.
Yeah.
Immediately, you're elite because you've got Curry, Durant, and Klay Thompson.
Right.
Offensively, you're elite. If I think it's even 50-plus. It's in the 50s.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
But would they be able to play championship enough level defense? That becomes the question without Draymond Green as the fourth guy in that equation. We could throw that around. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. Tim Roy will join us from Detroit at 12:30. More of your phone calls. Stephen Curry returns this afternoon. You'll hear it on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Rolling along here on a Saturday, taking you into Saturday night. Tonight will be the Golden State Warriors and the Detroit Pistons from downtown Detroit, and Stephen Curry coming back after missing the past 11 games, and we'll have it all for you here on 95.7 The Game. Matt Kolsky is going to be with you from 1 until 2:30, and then I'm back at 2:30 with Daryl the Guru Johnson. We've got Warriors live for you, the pregame before the Warriors face the Pistons in Detroit, 4 o'clock tip. And then we've got Warriors wrap-up for you after the game, so look for that.
All JD all the time.
Probably right around 7 o'clock.
What do you do between the day-night doubleheader? They put a spread? It's like baseball game. They put a spread in the clubhouse?
Yeah, I walk
clubhouse.
In, there's sandwiches, and just
play cards with guys.
Anything you need to do. Yeah. Maybe have a cold one.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
I would.
Maybe slam another rock star.
I'd probably have two. Don't do that. You can't have too many of those.
I know.
Your heart's going to explode.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm making the drive 90 miles from here. I have to go Pacers-Kings tonight.
Should be a good one.
Yeah, it should
be.
No
Oladipo.
Should be. It's just that it's right now an hour and 57-minute drive. But
And by the time
I get out of
show
here,
ends,
yeah,
it'll actually be like 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Awesome. Thank you.
Who needs a rock star when you can just...
Yeah, when you can just sit in traffic on I-80, everybody. You know what? I'm gonna call you guys on Warriors. What do you call it? What's your Warrior pregame show?
Warriors Live.
I'm gonna call Warriors Live. Do you ever take callers? Take callers today. I'm gonna call it.
Well, if the hotline's ringing.
This is Jim on I-80. Let me tell you, I think the Pistons can give the Warriors a game.
And I hate that PA announcer.
Yeah, exactly. That PA announcer stinks. I like the Warrior PA announcer. I'm Warrior PA announcer guy. Pro Warrior guy.
Eric and Milbrae is up here on 95.7 The Game. What's up, Eric?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, man? How are you?
Great day for the Dubs with Curry back. It just tells you the importance of this team. Without Curry, they're not even a top four seed in the West. And obviously, without both him and Draymond, I don't think they're even a top six seed. That's how critical they are, especially with just Curry back. He just makes them elite. Obviously, the offense, makes them the best offense in the league. He's the most dangerous weapon in the league just because of his range and the way that teams have to defend him anytime he has the ball in his hands. And he just opens everything up for Klay and KD to get their easier looks on the offensive end. So that makes it. As far as you were talking about the Raptors game, I just think it was a somewhat of a moral victory. And obviously, for the Warriors, when you're the best team in sports right now and the dominant dynasty they are at, I think it was kind of what, because you consider they're undermanned. You're playing the best team in the league right now. They had a massive lead at home where they don't lose, and to rally back, and you really had opportunities not only to win that in overtime. I just think when you see that type of effort, that bodes well. And with the way KD is playing right now and Curry back today, they're going to be on another level because Durant is playing like the finals version of himself. That's how good he is. So that's why I think it was somewhat of a moral victory, even though they lost. So I see 4-1 on this road trip. I think they're going to beat Milwaukee. That's going to be the best end. I think they take care of these next three games here. But it's a great day for Waddell fans, man. Missing Curry, it's just not the same when he's not out there. So I can't wait to see him tonight.
Thanks. Let me ask you a question before you go. You a question. So right now the Warriors are 15-8. They're in the fourth spot in the Western Conference. At what point do you think they will be the one seed in the West? Like, by the time they come home, do you think they'll be a one seed, or by the middle of December, or by Christmas Day? When do you think it is?
I think probably by January.
Okay.
Right now, you got to give credit. The Clippers, they've been the surprise of the league. I think Tobias Harris is elevated his game. But I think eventually they're gonna fall off, and I think as probably within another month or so, I think that's when the new year starts. I think the Warriors will be rolling and they really take it to another level. And then after the All-Star break, they really get it going. So I think probably within probably a month or so now, they'll probably overtake the Clippers, and I think they're gonna run away with the West, barring major injuries again. So now, that's just my take on it.
Thanks. Now here's the second part to that is
right.
When will they have the best record in the game, or will they not have the best record in the game?
I don't think so. I think Toronto is going to end up with the best record in the league. I think they want home court, and they're going to need it because I don't think the Warriors really need home court to win the championship. They've already proven that. But I do think Toronto needs it. I think that with Kawhi there, they're really going to gun for that number one seed. So barring Kawhi getting hurt and them having save injuries to Lowry or Siakam or Pascal, my new favorite guy in the league, I don't see them losing out. Yeah,
I agree.
They're going to end up with the number one seed, but I don't think the Warriors need it.
That's good NBA knowledge. Thanks, man. You call anytime.
Thanks.
That's really solid stuff. That guy knows his NBA.
Excellent.
Where are you on the Warriors? When will they have the one seed in the West? By Christmas Day? We'll wake up on Christmas Day when they're ready. Are they playing the Lakers on Christmas Day?
They are.
All right, when they play the Lakers on Christmas Day, they'll have the best record in the West?
Yeah, they will.
Yep. I mean, they're only a game out.
I think they're going to have the best record in the West.
When they come home from this trip?
2 weeks, if that. I mean,
I'm just looking to see when they play the Clips. You know what?
Honestly, if they beat Milwaukee, I think they're going to win tonight. I think they're going to beat Atlanta. I think they're going to beat Cleveland. They beat Milwaukee, they'll have it by the time they get home from the trip.
That's how quick it'll
December be. December 10th against Minnesota.
When will they have the best record in the league, or will that go to Toronto?
Best record in the league is legitimately up for grabs, and that's one area where
there's more trash in the East than there is in the West, which means your top heavy teams in the East are going to feed off the garbage.
And we were talking with
They're vultures.
Yeah, we were talking about Tim Bontemps. We're talking to Tim Bontemps about this about an hour or so ago here on the show. The top teams in the East, I think, are pretty good. Like, you could make a case that the Warriors are the best team in the league, and then the next four best teams in the NBA are all in the East.
Yeah, you could.
And then the next 10 teams after that are all in the West.
In fact, you know what? You know who's good and no one talks about him? I'm going to see him tonight, the Indiana Pacers.
Yeah, and Oladipo's not even playing.
Yeah, exactly. They're a good team. So, you know, I don't know.
But they're Indiana.
Would they be 13-9 in the West?
They're Detroit. They're in that Detroit East middling good.
You have
Indiana,
a West Coast bias.
Indiana and Detroit are about the same.
You and your West Coast arrogance.
But it's Indiana without Oladipo, too.
True.
And I know they're winning without him, which would lead you to think, hey, they'd be, and he hasn't played in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that makes you think they'd be better if he obviously had been playing these last 6-7 games.
Then let me ask you this. If they don't get home court, does that change your thought of 4 or 5 games in the finals? Toronto has home court advantage. Does it all of a sudden become 6?
Yeah, it might.
Because it's back to 2-2-1-1-1.
Yeah, it might.
It's not 2-3-2 anymore in the NBA.
It might, because I would see that series as a split after, if Toronto has home court advantage, I would say most logical thing would be a split after 2, Warriors win 2, it's 3-1, Warriors going for the championship back in Toronto. Toronto could survive that, come back Oracle, Warriors win it in 6.
Okay.
I could see that.
All right.
I don't think that's crazy.
Then I'm rooting for the Raptors to have home court advantage.
It helped extend the Western Conference Finals last year.
Yep.
The Rockets having it.
I want excitement. I don't, if I have to sit through, because listen, I've already got my patio furniture on Broadway in Oakland for the parade. I'm already ready for the mid to late June parade that we're going to have. But I want it to be exciting. I want it to be a series. If I have to sit through what I watched the Warriors do to the Cavaliers last year, I would rather watch the Warriors practice. Warriors practice for, because you don't make me sit through 2.5 to 3 hours of what that was. So if that's what it takes, I want the Raptors to have home court advantage. Make it a game.
The first game was pretty good between the Warriors and the Cavs.
First game was a good game.
Third
and then
game
after
was
that,
okay. Mm-hmm.
I think the other two games were just... I think everyone was disinterested
at that
point. Dogs
with fleas.
Yeah, right?
The other games were dogs with fleas. It was a coronation.
And they get to go back and smell the champagne.
On Wednesday.
Go back and do it. You might as well.
There ain't going to be any champagne in that building for a long time.
Do you think Do you think...
Oh, wow. We got somebody just coming after you on the text line.
Why are they so mean? Listen, it's December. It's the day before Hanukkah.
Chilton Auto Body text line.
Which is a good text line.
95795. Coe's has a Matt Steiny East Coast bias.
Oh.
Coming down your road.
See, that's so untrue.
And you're not even an East Coast guy.
I'm not. I'm a Midwest guy. I'm fair and balanced. I got you, who's on the West Coast, and I got Steiny, who's on the East Coast, and both of you with your biases.
Exactly. You're right in the middle.
I'm right in the middle.
You're right in the middle.
I'm telling you, I've got my patio furniture already on Broadway. I know there's going to be a Warrior parade. I just want it to be exciting.
You have it permanently in the cement.
I have paid in advance to the mayor, and this is where I want my my lawn furniture. I got my lawn chairs out there. I'm ready for the parade. That's what I do.
Yeah. I think we're going to get another one, barring an injury.
I totally agree with you. Let me ask you this.
It's just a matter of what is it going to look like? How is it going to happen?
Is there a guy who could get injured where the Warriors would still be the favorite of the core four? Like, if Draymond was that guy, could you still win a championship?
Every year on this show, Steiny and I, at the beginning of the year, we throw out a wild prediction. And this year, my wild prediction was 41-0 at home.
That's a pretty good one.
Okay. It was last year in Oakland. I know the guys in the morning show.
Joe Lo and Dibs mushed it.
Yeah, that's okay.
Mushed it. That's okay. Joe mushed
it. If you're stealing from me, I stole it from somebody else.
Yeah, exactly. You're stolen it twice. Isn't that the story?
Exactly.
If you're stolen it from me, you've stolen it twice.
Exactly. It's radio. Come on. Not rocket science here, boys and girls.
No.
But, so that was the wild prediction. And the wild prediction a couple of years ago was, I think they could challenge the Lakers' 33-win streak.
They ended up
31-2 if you count the playoffs in their final 33 games, because they went 15-1 in the playoffs.
Yep.
They lost the one game
where
they kind of gave up on the game in April before the playoffs started. You added it all up, 33 games, they went 31-2. So we got close to that one. Not going to get close to 41-0 this year. The wild prediction that we threw around this year was, this might be a year where the rest of the league is so down that the Warriors, let's say they lost Kevin Durant April 3rd for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they could win it without him
if they
had the other three.
Really? See, I think if you lose any of those three, I think you're in trouble. I think you've gone from super team to great team.
I think it would be very difficult, and you also have to factor in DeMarcus Cousins, too, in that.
I'm telling you, I'm not expecting them to get much from him. I don't want to be right in that, but how can I factor it in when it's the severity of the injury, the newness to him to this team and system, somewhat his track record, but not so much. I'm just not of the belief that he's going to be part of it. And as we pointed out, when Steve Kerr walks down to the end of the bench and says, DeMarcus, nice effort tonight, but it's the fourth quarter, and that guy there who's going into the Hall of Fame is going to play in the fourth quarter. How's that going to sit?
Might be a tough sell.
Yep, exactly.
We'll have to find out.
Yep.
Let's get to our guy. Let's get to Tim Roy.
Is my man Tim Roy here?
The voice of the Golden State Warriors. He joins us from Detroit. He's got the call of this one tonight right here at 95.7 The Game. Tim, you're on with John Dickinson and Jim Cosimore here on a Saturday.
Happy Saturday, everyone. How you doing?
Doing super great. How's the Motor City? How's the Motor City today?
It's great. We're out in Birmingham, and it's beautiful. They've got it's festive. It's decorated. It's wonderful.
You're still staying in Birmingham. You're not staying downtown.
No, we stayed downtown last year and decided that it's just as far from here to downtown as it was from here to Pontiac. So switch back to here.
Birmingham is a great community. It is where they're staying right now, and people don't realize this, Tim, this is one of my favorite stops in the NBA, where you are right now.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite stops in the NBA. Great place.
Great little place.
Yep.
It's got great restaurants, movie theater, bookstores.
And a great old feel to it. Great old homes and old buildings and stuff. So you guys are living the good life out there. Anyway, sorry, JD, didn't mean to hijack my Michigan knowledge.
No, we're just having a good conversation here. Tim, give us your takeaways in the 11 games without Curry. He's obviously coming back tonight. That's the headline for this game. Draymond Green a couple of games away, but just there was a lot going on these last couple of weeks when you go back to when he was injured against Milwaukee there toward the end of that game. But just get your general thoughts on the 5-6 stretch over 11.
I think what happened was, you know, the injuries combined with what they were going through emotionally, I think, drained them a little bit. And then after about three or four games, they just said, okay, enough is enough. And they came out, played a lot harder, played with a lot more purpose. And Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson have just been outstanding, you know, especially KD the last three games, but even, you know, Klay over the last four or five. They've been really, really good. And I think they figured out, you know, like great teams do, they figured out a way to play without two of their stars and to be effective and to be competitive. And, you know, to take that Toronto team with the best record into overtime, I think, was a real accomplishment. And you're not in the, you know, Jim Barnett and I were talking in the postgame the other night, you know, you're not in the moral victory business. This is the win-or-loss business. But I think that game, coupled with the news that Steph is coming back, I think it can give this team a real boost.
You know, be careful with Coase on the moral victory thing, Tim.
I know. Don't give me that moral victory stuff. I'm like Barnett, man. You're here to win some games, Timmy. You're here to win some games.
Right. Your one-loss record is who you are. There's no way around that.
There you go. JD keeps bringing up the great Steph numbers and when he comes back from missing multiple games with injury. I'm going to turn this into an organizational question. Because he has been so effective coming back in those first games, how good is the organization at protecting the player from coming back too early? As we all know, athletes want to compete, sometimes compete before they're really 100% healthy. How good are the Warriors at using whatever analytics they use on the physicality of guys, and they get data on everything from their heart rate to what they're eating and how much sleep they're getting, but how good are the Warriors at making sure guys are 100% before they allow them to step back onto the floor? Because I wanted to see Steph on Thursday against Toronto. We see him today. But where do the Warriors stand in making sure guys are healthy?
I think the Toronto game is a perfect example of this, that how they're extra cautious because they know they have this, you know, incredible edge. You know, they don't have to get Steph back. They're not in danger of losing their place among the NBA's order, even with Steph out for 11 games. So they take their time. Steph wanted to play in Toronto. He loves playing in Toronto. He scores more points against the Raptors than any other team per game. He has great memories there of goofing around and getting shots up while his dad was playing. He knows a million people up there. His wife's family is up there. He wanted to play in Toronto. And the fact that they held him out an extra game, an extra 2 days, shows you that they are extra cautious. Because when you tell the guy that has been, you know, basically front and center, the face of the franchise for the most part for the last, you know, 5-6 years, and you tell him, hey, you know, let's pump the brakes a little bit on this, then, you know, they have his best interest in heart because they're not going to let him get out there early and further, you know, injure himself. And then secondly, they have the team's best interest in heart because they know as much fun as that game was, as juicy as that matchup was, the November game against Toronto will not be as important as whatever game they play in May and June.
Tim Roy, our guest here, the voice of the Golden State Warriors. Warriors this week, John Dickinson and Jim Cozumore in for Matt Steinmetz. Warriors and Pistons coming up later this afternoon here on 95.7 The Game. Tim, as Curry returns, where does it leave Kevin Durant, who's having maybe the best four-game stretch of his career in these last four games? Does he have to maybe take a little bit of a step back, or is Curry just the nature of his game being so unselfish that he can kind of let Durant do what he's been doing and ease his way back in to his own takeover moment that we know is coming, if not tonight, at some point here very soon?
Yeah, I think Steph is very conscious of other players. I think he's very conscious of their feelings. I think he'll go more than out of his way to make sure Kevin gets looks early. Kevin, I think, on the other hand, can probably take a deep breath because now his shots should come a lot easier with Steph being out there. He's had to work exceedingly hard to get looks at the basket the last three or four games. And, you know, that can wear you down. You wouldn't want him to have to do that over a course of a season because it would just really take the legs right out from underneath you. But, and he's been unbelievable in doing it. So I think there'll be a little give and take on both sides, to be honest with you. I think they've played with each other enough to know that, you know, Steph's not going to go hunt shots just because it's his first game back. And Durant's not going to go, well, I've been doing just great without you. I need the ball. I think they'll have a pretty good mix.
Tim Roy, voice of the Warriors, joining us, 95.7 The Game. The Warriors and Pistons, you'll hear it tonight on 95.7 The Game. Tip off at 4 o'clock. In this stretch, without the stars, I would guess that organizations want to see some guys step up. You know how they always say, Tim, a guy who's not there means it's an opportunity for someone else. Is there someone, are there someones who did open eyes for the Warriors brass? Or is the Warriors brass a little unimpressed with what they've seen with Draymond and with Steph out of the lineup?
No, I think a couple of guys that to me have really done a nice job while these two stars have been out. I think Jarebko has really earned minutes with what he's been able to do, not just because he had a great game against Toronto, but you know he's had seven or more rebounds, six of the last seven games. What does that tell you? That's activity. That means he's going after the ball, whether it be on offense or defense. I think he's shown, I think, the ability to get more minutes. I think the fact that Damian Lee and Quinn Cook have shown that unlike, I think, when they first both arrived to the team, that they're willing to take shots now. I think before there's a little bit of a, for a young player to come to the Warriors, it's a really, you know, eye-opening experience, and I think they get a little in awe of their teammates, and they tend to pass up shots. Well, I think Quinn Cook and Damian Lee have learned now that when they're on the floor with whatever combinations out there, that they need to take those open shots. Those three guys kind of stick out. I think Kevon Looney, but has played well. But I think we know Kevon Looney. I think we know what he is and what he can do for the Warriors. I think they already knew that. But I think for Jarebko and maybe and especially Damian Lee, I think Steve Kerr will have a lot more confidence if he has the need to go to those guys in a game where maybe somebody rolls an ankle or a game where somebody gets into foul trouble. I don't think he'll hesitate going to one of those guys in a big game.
Tim, what intrigues you about tonight's matchup with the Warriors and the Pistons?
What intrigues me is that Detroit's playing better offensively, and Dwayne Casey's a good coach. He understands personnel and how to use them, and so Blake Griffin's averaging a career high tonight, so I'm curious to see, you know, how much better they are. They're a top five team now in the East, and so I'm curious to see how he's making all these pieces fit together. You can already see that a couple of guys are buying in to the moves that Coach Casey's made. Stanley Johnson, they took him out of a starting and brought him in off the bench, former U of A standout, and he's playing very well off the bench. That tells me that he's not pouting about it, that Dwayne Casey got him excited about coming off the bench, and he's playing well there. So I'm curious to see how, you know, they're getting all these pieces to fit together in a way that's better than what they had before. And then, of course, the other big moment of the night has to be that we get to see Zaza Pachulia once again.
Oh, I love the Zaz. Pro Zaz. I'm very pro Zaz. I got to
very high in the screen assist per 36 minute category.
That's awesome. That's very, very good. Hey, can I know you got a game to think of tonight, but I'm probably not going to get to talk to you before Monday's game in Atlanta. How cool is it going to be to see Travis Schlenk and what he's trying to do with the Atlanta Hawks? We understand the Hawks are in rebuild mode, but he really got all of his learning from the Golden State Warriors. How cool is it going to be just to go back and reacquaint the Warriors selves with a guy they think highly of?
Yeah, you know, there's a whole bunch of people that, you know, we saw Chelsea when she came out with the Hawks and Mike Ehr and their health and strength and training staff, and those two guys, those two people are just amazing and great people to travel with, very unassuming, very humble. And so, yeah, it's great to see them, and Travis has done a great job, I think, in positioning the Hawks to start to build the assets they need to move up. And you know, he's got to take some heat at some point over the Luka Doncic trade, because they traded the rights to Doncic for Trae Young, but they also got another first-round pick in the deal, which they'll be able to use next year. So he's starting to build assets for this Hawks franchise. It's going to be very exciting to see. And, of course, you got Kent Bazemore and Jeremy Lin down there, too, two former Warriors, and Jeremy, you know, the star of Palo Alto High. There's a lot of connections in the Atlanta game. It's gonna be fun to go down and get to see all those people.
Tim, thanks a lot. We'll let you get ready for the ball game coming up later this afternoon and evening in Detroit. Thanks, as always, and we'll talk to you again next Saturday.
Always fun, guys. Have a great rest of the show and a great rest of your Saturday.
Go get him, Tim.
Tim Roy, he'll be back with the call of this one. 3:30 for that network pregame show right here, 95.7 The Game, and then Tim Roy will have the call of the Warriors and the Pistons, and Stephen Curry's return tip-off just after 4 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game. This is Warriors This Week. It's John Dickinson, Jim Cozumel, wrapping things up on a Saturday with you, 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. That's the phone number to participate in the program. We still have time for some calls. Coz, you want to have a little fun to end the show?
Yeah, I'm down with fun.
A little fun to end the show here. Klay Thompson, he did a Reddit Ask Me Anything last night. Because
did
why
he just
not?
Do it randomly, or was because, that scheduled?
I think it was scheduled.
Okay.
I believe it was scheduled. And
I could see him sitting in his room in Birmingham, Michigan. It's a cool hotel.
Right.
Just kind of kicking it, going, you know what? I don't want to go to the movies. I want to go to By the way, Birmingham, Michigan, where I had my first official date.
Really?
At 220 Merrill Street was the name of the restaurant.
Wow.
Yeah, how about them
apples? How old was that?
I was in high school, so I think I was 16 or 17.
Beautiful.
Something like that. I know. I was quite the gentleman. Quite the gentleman.
Wonderful.
I know. So anyway,
good.
Back to... So I could see him sitting there going, oh, I could jump on Reddit. Let's do some Q&A.
Klay on Reddit, Q&A, Ask Me Anything.
Okay.
And one of the questions was, if you're on a desert island... Klay, you're stranded on a desert island. You can choose three NBA players survive with you. Who do you choose and why? And Klay Thompson, of course, gave the most epic answer possible. Number one, Steven Adams.
Nice.
Because why? Because he looks like Aquaman and would be well-versed in the ocean.
Okay. That is a deep thought. Like, I would think him because he's from New Zealand, and he looks like he'd be big, and if there was any trouble... Steven Adams would protect us.
Yeah.
So I like, that's my answer, but okay, good in the ocean.
He'd handle his own. He'd be able to just handle his own. Klay says Stephen Curry.
Okay.
Because he seems like a good critical thinker and solves problems really well. So again, well thought out.
Yeah, exactly. I will give him credit for that, in that he's getting people to perform tasks. Like, he's putting them in a, he could be a coach. He's putting them in positions to utilize their talents properly for his good.
So Steven Adams, Stephen Curry, and then the third one, he went back in the way back machine a little bit. Karl Malone.
What?
Karl Malone was his third pick.
Wow.
For an NBA player, if he's stranded on a deserted island. Karl Malone, because he's a great hunter, I guess. He'd be the hunter and gatherer of the crew.
Okay.
He was huge, has huge elbows. He'd knock some animals out.
Dude, that's awesome. That's awesome. I think he's put together a good group.
Klay Thompson is still, in my mind, for my money, the most entertaining of the four Warrior stars.
How does he not annually win best interview from the media? Don't you guys vote on that?
Because he doesn't talk a lot or extensively. Like, he's
what
not-
was his ponytail reference that he made the other day? See, that got you going, didn't it?
It did. It was good.
You liked it? Well, I thought, why are you taking a cheap shot at ponytails? I like ponytails. I'm pro ponytail.
I thought that was really funny. I think this answer is really funny. The thing with Klay is he'll talk like 2 minutes at a time.
So when he goes, when he turns the switch on, the switch gets turned on.
Correct.
But he doesn't turn it on all that often.
So who are your three? If you had you want to do three broadcasters, or you want to do three NBA players? You got to do three NBA players.
Boy, that'd be I might do NBA broadcaster. I couldn't come up with three NBA broadcasters I'd want to hang out on a deserted island. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think we know them all, right? We know all the guys
more here than
we know.
I don't want
everyone's
I,
list would be
I,
Breen.
You
don't want
to
go angry.
I don't want to go down to that rabbit hole.
Of course, I'd take Tim and Jim, and I'd take you and RC. Those would be that's four. You only get three NBA players. How about current?
Yeah, NBA player. DeMarcus Cousins would be on my list.
He would.
I'd want DeMarcus Cousins there.
I like Steven Adams. That would be a good one.
I'd probably want Klay.
Would you? I might want Steven Adams' teammate, Russ West.
That would be pretty good.
I might want Russell Westbrook because he can do everything.
You go Westbrook, Durant, Boogie.
Yeah, I would do that. Is there another random NBA player who I would want for his other skills, his otherworldly skills? You know what? My answers are nowhere near as entertaining as what Klay. What goes on in that guy's brain, right? What is he thinking of on a random day? If he's coming up with, he kind of looks like Aquaman. He'd be good in the ocean.
I think he listens to a lot of music. I think he watches movies. think he gets in the gym.
He hits the gym?
I think he gets into the gym, gets his shots up.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's thinking about.
You need some, yeah, you need some outdoorsy people. I don't know who's outdoorsy in the NBA nowadays.
He likes being.
How about Embiid? I might have Embiid with me.
All right, he'd be entertaining.
I might be rolling with Embiid. The big guy from the Knicks, Porzingis.
Okay.
I might go with Porzingis, the zinger. I'd have me, Embiid, the zinger, because he's from another country, and they're usually good at stuff. We're in America, we're good at looking at screens and not getting anything done. They're good at stuff. Like, they learn to do stuff. So I'd have him. I'd probably take only foreign guys now that I'm thinking about it.
Okay.
I'd probably only take foreign guys because they do stuff. Now, they learn other sports. They learn other games. They learn other hunting and fishing, skiing and all that stuff. So that's give me a chance to figure out what foreigners I'd take.
I think I'm going to go and
Bogdanovich.
The obvious tandem now would be Durant and Draymond. You got to put Durant.
Uh-oh.
Durant.
So you want a little
Durant and Draymond with DeMarcus Cousins in between.
You want a little strip down of the shirt and who's going to come out of this thing alive?
Durant and Draymond hash it out. Desert Island with DeMarcus Cousins as the referee.
As the referee? You know what? That's pay-per-view right there. That's pay-per-view.
You're on the island. You got nothing. You just got to work it out.
Dude, I would pay-per-view that bad boy. And you know how many NBA fans would buy that stuff? They would buy that more than they'd buy it.
All of them.
Yeah, all the NBA fans would buy that, and it would make more money than whatever MMA event you're going to put together, or UFC. Are those different? Those are probably different things.
No, MMA, UFC, it's, yeah. Form of MMA.
Yeah, form of it. That's the formal version, the league version.
Mixed martial arts is the sport.
Right. That's the overrides. It's like, okay.
It's like basketball.
Basketball.
And you have the NBA and the ABA.
And then you have the NBL.
Yep.
Which I actually watch highlights of the Australian League.
Let's get to Kurt in Oakland. He's got his three. If, yeah, you want to weigh in, we do have about 6-7 minutes if you want to weigh in on your three NBA players.
After that, I'm going to have about 2 hours if you like to call me in my car phone. I'd be more than happy to talk Warriors, too, on my long drive.
Kurt, what do you got?
I got, thanks for taking my call, and I have Bismack Biyombo, who I believe plays for the Orlando Magic.
Okay, why?
He was trained at a young age to hunt.
Okay,
I like help. It. I like it.
Serge Ibaka would be another one, because he has the same similar qualities, and he knows how to get stuff done when he needs to get it done. And then, of course, you know, Steven Adams, because I believe, if I recall, he grew on a farm, so he would know how to grow stuff properly, what you would need to do to handle on a deserted island. But, yeah, those would be my three main options for that in particular.
All right.
And I think that would be ideal.
You're going practical on us. All right, Kurt, we appreciate that. Thanks for the call.
I like it.
Practical Kurt in Oakland wants guys that'll get it done because you want to survive.
You know what? You do. And, again, he's going with guys who what? Are foreign guys, right? He's not picking all the Americans. He's not even picking all the North Americans. He's not even picking Andrew Wiggins, who came from Canada, right?
He did.
He's going with guys who are foreigners. So I'm on to something with this, JD.
Or Jamal Murray, right? Isn't Jamal Murray another Canadian?
I never trust a Canadian. It's just my view.
You married a Canadian.
I know. Just letting you know, though. You know, just I'm keeping it real. Did you name your three? I named my three. I got Porzingis, Embiid, and someone else from a foreign
I'm
land.
Telling you, I got DeMarcus,
oh,
and
DeMarcus
Durant, and Draymond.
In there?
No, DeMarcus Cousins would be in there. I think...
Are you on the pro, DeMarcus? Or...
Yeah.
Okay.
I am
a you're
pro.
Of that, you're yeah. of that group.
Yeah.
You're the... You're
well,
the...
Let's not paint with a broad brush.
But there are some who are like, aggressively anti him.
No, I am not that guy.
Yeah, and I'm not that guy either.
I actually am... Guy that defended him against that guy.
Yeah. There are some who are aggressively against him. I maintain he once broke my hand when he shook my hand. He's that physically strong and imposing.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that he was being a jerk. I just think he's so strong. His average shake is like enough to break my brittle, you know.
Sure.
My brittle little bird bones that I have. And he was very nice and polite.
I think DeMarcus a little misunderstood.
I absolutely agree with you. I think off the court, DeMarcus is a charming, big-hearted human being.
I think he has a temper. I think at times he feels the world's against him when it's not. And I think that manifests itself in a negative light. And I, you know, I think it. I think that happened. I also think he, you know, he didn't like a lot of BS.
So I agree.
When he sees BS,
he calls it out.
He kind of he'll call it out. And a lot of times, if you're the guy that calls out the BS, you get labeled the bad guy,
right?
Because the people you're calling out,
they don't like it.
They don't want to be called out for as being the problem,
as being the
fraud. So they take you out as the problem.
Yep.
Because you're the guy that calls out the BS.
Yep.
So I think there's a little element to that too.
There is some truth to that. There's a lot of truth to everything you just said regarding him. And, you know, for that, you should maybe even be a sports psychologist, because there is going to come a time this season, if he's healthy enough, where the Warriors are going to have to deal with something. And I don't know what that something is. I just know the guy already has been kicked out of a game and he hasn't played a minute.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Do you know how many people 90 miles from here chuckled when they saw that?
Oh, I'm sure. At least three or four.
It was I know. It was uncanny at how many people kind of laughed and said, huh, yep. Didn't see, yep. Hey, didn't see that coming, did you, Warriors? Like everyone, there are so many people in Sacramento.
And the Warriors may answer, yeah, and we don't care.
Yeah, they might. They might. And I think that if it did become an issue, which I do not expect it to become, but if it does, I think the Warriors are strong enough to pull the ripcord.
I just don't think it ever would get to that point.
You don't think so? But I never thought I would hear the story that ownership and management sat down with DeMarcus in Sacramento and said, we'll give you the Supermax, $200 million, but you cannot get teased. You cannot get kicked out of games. You cannot yell at referee. You cannot not embarrass your players. And the next game, he gets double-teched and kicked out.
Yeah.
Right?
He's got a temper.
So I would never have guessed that.
He's got a temper. Can run a little hot.
But he is an ultimately talented guy.
He is. Dennis. He's got his three guys. We'll sneak another one in.
Give it
here.
To me, Dennis.
Dennis, who you got?
All right. Well, real quick, it's Greg on the way to the dentist.
Oh,
whatever.
Gotcha.
What do you got? Did you chip
that,
a tooth?
How that became
what happened,
Dennis?
Man? Yeah, I know. Saturday.
Thanks, Greg.
Saturday, Dennis, what'd you chip a tooth?
No, my wife rescheduled for 1 o'clock on a Saturday. It's awesome. I'm missing Georgia,
yeah,
Alabama. But my three are. I think I would take Dellavedova. I don't even know if he's still in the league, but he's a scrapper with a little bit of nasty in him.
Agreed.
I think I would take Draymond Green because he's a fighter and he gets stuff done. And then I don't know. I think I want a little crazy. So I was thinking Birdman or, who was the guy that played for the Bulls? Just so anybody who saw him would say, I'm not messing with him, and we'd be safe.
Dennis Rodman? You want a little Dennis Rodman?
Rodman or Birdman, we'll just put him out in front, and anybody who wants to get nasty, say, yeah, we're good.
That's a good call. Birdman,
right. Birdman, thanks,
albeit a nice guy, was very funky looking.
Yeah, exactly. We got the Chilton Autobody text line.
Yes.
Another practical approach, Iguodala, Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili.
Yeah, you're looking at
going
steady.
Smarty pants.
Slow and steady wins the race, right?
Yeah.
You do. You're going smarty pants.
You're going smart and
little
steady.
Little foreign activity in there.
Yep.
Unless you count, like, Duncan is U.S. Virgin
Islands. And calm.
You're right. They're not going to get out of whack.
You got to be calm in this situation.
I got animals all over me. I don't know what's coming. You know what?
I got to hunt for food.
Like, my hair would be on fire. Those guys, keeping it calm.
Be all bad.
Yep. We got it. What's going down?
Hey, great show today, by the way.
That was a show. It was 4 hours.
It was fun.
Thank you. No, I had a great time. I am...
Hey, your 2.5 hour drive aside.
Yeah,
we had a
exactly.
Good time today.
I did. This is actually the highlight of my day. It is always fun to come in here and do this. I get a great chance to work here, and I was in for Joe the other day. I had a great time. I'm in for Steiny here today, so it's good to come in and pinch hit a little bit and just keep things warm. Thank you very much. You were the best.
When are you in next? Well, everybody know that.
Tomorrow I've got Raiders. I'll see you at Raiderville.
See you out at the Coliseum.
And then in 2 weeks, I think I might be doing some morning stuff.
All right.
All righty?
Sounds good.
Thanks very much. Great
Coach,
job, JD.
We're going to let you get on the road. Want to thank everybody. Thank James and Gabe and Nash for putting the program together. For Mark Medina, who was outstanding. For Sam Amick and Tim Bontemps and Tim Roy. It's the Warriors and the Pistons coming up. Warriors live at 2:30. But first, Matt Kolsky. He is coming up next as he takes you the next 90 minutes before the Warriors face the Pistons right here on 95.7 The Game.